This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins me now on the West Her Hotline after the Sabres go to Winnipeg yesterday and come up with a nice victory. They beat the Winnipeg Jets 5-3 after the empty net goal at the end. Nice, by the way, Brian McLeod, nice backhand over top of everybody to get it in the net. Paul, how did they do it? The Sabres go to Winnipeg and give them their sixth regulation loss at home this year.
Yeah, and the Jets had been waiting for them since Thursday. Mm. For Buffalo, it was 3 games in 4 and back-to-back. They were in Minnesota the day before. Winnipeg came in with a 714 points percentage, meaning they 71%, which isn't too bad. 25-5-4 at home. They hadn't lost at home in regulation since January 18th. They were 7-0-1. So everything was against them, and Buffalo does not usually do well at all in back-to-backs. But, you know, they got great goaltending from James Reimer, who actually stood on his head. They got a break that Hullabuck was not in goal, and Eric Comrie played like he did against when he was a Buffalo Sabre. And, you know, it was a gutty effort, I thought. You know, it wasn't just Reimer. I mean, you know, the Sabres, you know, yeah, they had to rely on Reimer, but they were very opportunistic, you know, in their scoring to be able to pick up some goals. I thought as the game went on, they got better. I thought in the third period, it was a really gutty effort. And the shorthanded goal by Tuck, I think, tells you a lot. I mean, first of all, Tuck had blocked a shot, a key shot, and the penalty kill. And then Clifton, you know, right near the blue line, just dove to get a puck out, I mean, and got there and tipped it up to McLeod, who puts a perfect pass on Tuck's stick to send him in alone. I mean, so you saw desperation, you know, in that penalty kill. And in a time where they shouldn't have been killing a penalty, it was absolutely a penalty on Scheifele, mm-hmm. who, like, had a lock on Samuelson's stick. He grabbed his stick and just held on to it, but the referee at center ice, this was behind the net, the referee at center ice, they had their back to him. Well, he thought it was Samuelson committing the penalty and called it. There's a referee standing right there looking at the two of them, and he didn't say anything. I mean, you could obviously see Samuelson's stick was being held. So Buffalo, instead of being on the power play, was shorthanded. So it was kind of justice, you know, that they actually scored a shorthanded goal because they should have been on the power play.
Sabres win yesterday in Winnipeg. J.J. Paterka gets the scoring going, and he has now 22 goals in the season. We just had a short discussion on him. I want to ask you about this, Paul. He's going to be an RFA. We've talked about him before. I just keep sticking in my head that Elliot Friedman kept mentioning he would be, excuse me, he would be an offer sheet candidate from some team, you know, this offseason. What do you think that looks like? How do you think they proceed with J.J. Paterka? Will they just let another team kind of negotiate for them and give them an offer sheet? Will they want to get ahead of this? How do you see all this playing out?
Well, they could have got ahead of it since July 1st. I mean, he was eligible to be re-signed at any point during that time, but I think the Sabres maybe learned their lesson from all the contracts they signed. They signed people to like that early, and some of them I think they're regretting now, and so they didn't do it with any of them. You know, whether it was Byram, whether it was Paterka, whether it was Quinn, whether it was Levi, whether it was McLeod, none of them, you know, got early contracts. So, you know, I wish there were more offer sheets in the NHL, and every time there is one, then everybody thinks, all right, now we're going to go. We're going to get offer sheets. And the St. Louis Blues had two guys from the Edmonton Oilers that they signed offer sheets, and they got those players, Holloway and Broberg, and they've been very useful players to St. Louis. But the NHL has this goofy thought, well, I don't want GMs to get mad at me. You know, what? It's in the collective bargaining agreement. You're doing nothing wrong. What do you mean you don't want GMs to get mad at you? You know, and so I would love to see offer sheets around the NHL be used as a tool. But everybody gets all excited that, well, now we're going to see offer sheets. I hope so around the league, but because I think it's a great way to build your team if you can get a really good young player to an offer sheet and get him on your team. I think it's great. And yeah, you got to give up some picks. And I'm like, so what? I mean, you got to give up some picks if you can get that kind of a player. And yeah, I think J.J. Paterka would be a candidate for an offer sheet, but I'm not convinced in the least that offer sheets are going to become a thing again just because they were used last year.
I also don't really care for the picks in return, to be quite honest, Paul. We've been down this road. As you say, who cares for the team giving up the picks? I say in the Sabres situation, I don't need the picks. They've had a lot of picks. They picked first in the NHL recently. They've picked second a couple times recently. They have good prospects. I'm tired of the picks. I don't need the picks. I want players here.
And forget about the goals. I think what I've liked about J.J. Paterka is I've seen an improvement in his overall play. You know, I've seen him back check hard and break up some plays to get back and help out. I've seen after a turnover on a power play, him hightail it back to try to break up a play and doing so. Is it perfect yet? No. But I still think it's been good. I think it's been better. I think it's been quite a bit better, actually. So it's obviously something he's been working on in his game to get better at. So, you know, I think not only are we talking about goals, and certainly goals have been going in for him lately. He's coming off a 28-goal season, and that was his 22nd goal, and he's been on quite a streak. And really, he was out with injury and came back and didn't miss a beat. I mean, he scored in three games in a row since coming back. So, you know, he was ready to come back from injury, and that is not hindering him whatsoever.
You mentioned Ryan McLeod. I can't imagine this general manager would trade Matthew Savoy, bring Ryan McLeod in, and then all of a sudden just bail on him after a year. He's going to be a restricted free agent as well. What do you think the situation is with him and how they feel about him and the season that he's had?
Well, he's doing, I think, exactly what they felt, because I remember when Kevin Adams traded for him, he goes, we feel there's an upside in his offense, you know, from what there was in Edmonton. He was, and I said it when they made the trade, because a lot of people in Buffalo are upset. Well, they traded Savoy for him. Yeah. I believe there were, five number one picks in Rochester right now. Savoy could have been number six. Yeah. You know, and so you've got all this, I call it currency, They all can't come up and be Buffalo Sabres. There's too many of them.
Yep.
You know? So.
And by the way, Matthew Savoy has only had a cup of coffee with the Oilers this year for four games and sent back down.
Right. And you know what? He may become a fantastic hockey player. He also may become a bust.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Nobody knows. And McLeod was exactly what Buffalo needed. They did not have a player like that. You know, good teams have a very good two-way center that they can count on. And, you know, he brings speed, which Buffalo didn't have a lot of. He wins faceoffs, which Buffalo didn't have a lot of. And you can use him in a lot of different situations. And that offensive upside may have even been better than they thought from what they've seen so far this year. And a lot of his goals, if you've noticed, have come because of the speed. He'll pull away from the defense and give himself a breakaway. The shorthanded goal the other afternoon, he pulled away and got the shorthanded goal. So you'll see that from him too. So, yeah, I think definitely you've got to get him signed. I think he has proven that his worth as a Saber, even if you want to go last night or yesterday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
the backhand from in front of Reimer with the net open, you know, and he backhands it the length of the ice almost and gets it to the net to get the empty net goal. He made two plays that helped them win that hockey game. That shorthanded pass to Tuck to put him in and to get that goal and then to get the clincher into the empty net. Plus, you know, it's a four-point night for him, or afternoon.
Yeah.
I keep saying night. It was afternoon. It was a four-point afternoon for him. So, yeah, definitely he would. And I feel the same way about Byram. You made a really good trade. The Mittelstadt has not worked out at all. He didn't even last a year or just a year in Colorado, and off he went to Boston. Byram, I think, has, you know, turned the corner here in Buffalo and played very well. And, you know, you make a good trade there. I think you have to find a way to get him signed too.
I'm glad you brought up James Reimer. You mentioned his name right there on the McLeod goal. Boy, I was so happy for him yesterday. You could not lose that game after the performance he put on.
It was crazy. And he only got beat. The only goal he gave up in the beginning was went in off Malenstein's skate. I'm almost positive the shot by Ehlers was tipped by Power. The way the puck took off and kind of lofted, it kind of shot up. It just seemed, and the stick appeared to be in the way. I couldn't tell from the replay, but I'm pretty sure that hit Power's stick and went up on him. But other than that, I mean, he just was save after save after save. I was writing after the game. I'm like, I can't put every save in here that was a fantastic save, or I'll be sitting here writing all night. It was just, you know, and in the third period, as I said, I thought the Sabres played a little bit better. They still needed him to make the big saves at the big time, but I thought the Sabres, you know, tightened up a little bit in the third period and kind of got more into the game. And it wasn't a game that the Sabres were – I mean, I think they gave everything they had because it's, you know, when you're in 3 and 4 playing in all different cities, I mean, you weren't in the same city for any of the games. You know, you've got this. This is the game that both Ruff and Granato have talked about where you've got to learn how to win with your B game. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did there. You know, they weren't going to be able to get up to their A game because of the, you know, the situation they're in. But that doesn't mean you can't win the hockey game. You know, and that's what good teams have figured out. And Sal, look at, you know, what you look at the team now and they're starting to learn a little bit, but I think to be a good team, this little stretch here, you know, let's analyze it a little bit. They've played pretty well throughout this stretch, and have shown some improvement. They've beaten Edmonton. They've beaten Vegas. They've beaten Boston. They've beaten Winnipeg. Other than the Detroit game, though, the only game, that's really the only game they should have lost, that a good team would have lost. And that's what they got to learn, what they did in Winnipeg. Minnesota, you played 50 good minutes, and you played 10 horrendous minutes, and you lost a hockey game because of 10 minutes in a game. That's where, you know, a good team wins that hockey game, because in the first period where Buffalo played great, they had at least 4 or 5 grade A scoring chances, didn't score on any of them. They could have had a 3-0 lead easily in that game. And that's where, you know, they got to get back. Utah, you're set up to get a 6-on-4 trailing 3-2, and nobody on the ice is yelling for Tage Thompson, who doesn't know there's a delayed penalty, to hand Utah the puck. And you get a bad break, and it goes back in your own net. These are two games where when you become a better team, you right now are on a 5-game winning streak and won 6 out of 7. Just little things. We're talking about very little things that could be the difference between them being on a 5-game winning streak right now and those two losses in Utah and Minnesota that were right there to win. Detroit, no. I know they were only a goal down, but they didn't play well at all in Detroit. That is just one of those games you're going to lose. And that's where I think when you're looking at this team getting better, that's what they have to learn, that to be on a 5-game winning streak right now instead of winning 3 out of 5.
Speaking of Detroit and the number 5, it's been 5 games since that Detroit game. The last time Josh Norris actually suited up for this team, he's a guy that's had injuries. The Sabres trade for him, and suddenly he's out of the lineup right away. A, do you have an update on Joshua Norris or any other injuries, obviously, for us? And B, is this something Sabres fans should legitimately be concerned about with a guy that has had an injury history?
Oh, with 4 games and 6, they're not going to practice today, obviously. And, you know, we'll see at a morning skate tomorrow. He hasn't practiced with the team, but Zucker came right back into the lineup without practicing with the team, a morning skate, and was back in. So, you know, we'll see tomorrow against Ottawa in the morning skate where he's at, if he's at, even out there. Lindy Ruff, you know, as watching his press conferences throughout these games, never ruled it out that it could happen. You know, he was hoping to get him back on the ice towards, as he said, the end of last week. Again, Buffalo's wasn't doing a lot of practicing. They were basically playing games. So, you know, we'll see where, you know, Norris may be down there skating right now, you know, and we may see him in the morning skate tomorrow. We may not, but at least it sounds like if, you know, he's close, but we'll see where it, I'm sure he would love to play against the Senators tomorrow.
Real quickly, Yuri Kulik, anything on him?
He was not on the trip. Okay. Normally when you're in concussion protocol, you're going to be in that for at least 7 days. So, he wasn't with them for 7 days. They left on Sunday, came back on Sunday. So, again, we'll see where he's at when they get back. We'll see if he's back on the ice tomorrow and how he's feeling. But Lindy, with him not even being there, when he was asked about him, during the press conferences, he basically was like, well, I don't really have an update, because he really wasn't with him. So we'll see what that amounts to and how he's feeling after over a week now.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Have a great rest of your week, but I'm sure we'll catch up a little bit later. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton right there on the Western Hotline. His appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here very quickly, get to the top of the hour. Eric Turner of Cover One is going to join us to break down the Bills' new free agents on video and what he sees.